So a sermon entitled, What Do You Need? What do you actually need on the 5th of March 2023? Short reading from Deuteronomy 8:2-4. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Now, where else have you heard that spoken? Who else said that? Man does not live by bread alone. That was Jesus' answer to Satan, wasn't it? So he was quoting the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. Everything that the Israelites needed during those 40 years in the wilderness, God supplied. Everything that they needed. And those things that they wanted, often he denied them for a reason. If he hadn't supplied food and water and clothing and made sure their clothing didn't wear out, they probably would all have died. When you think about it, that's a lot of people dying in the desert, isn't it? But clearly they didn't die, and during that time they had to deal with some very difficult challenges. Things that you and I would have found amazingly difficult if you put yourself in their shoes. No one likes to be humbled, do they? It's not a very enjoyable prospect, being humbled, and it doesn't sound attractive or pleasurable. But being humbled by God is on the cards for each and every one of us as we work our way through the rest of our lives. Humbling is very likely to happen. There is a term that we use nowadays. We say things like, he or she is a needy person. Have you heard that term? Oh, they're very needy. Oh, she's so needy. We all need things to live. But this term goes beyond that, doesn't it? To indicate a character weakness. I think you could say it's a character weakness in someone. Maybe it's something that they are not even quite aware of. They may not even be aware that they're needy people. So here it is, a modern definition, straight hot off the press, off Google, courtesy of Google. And this is what it said. A push for continuous conversation, like texting or calling or emailing, social media posting, persistently asking for reaffirmations of love, seeking out compliments, wanting to spend every moment together, difficulty making decisions on their own, angry or sadness when their partner spends time with other people, feeling clingy or needy for attention can stem from a lack of self-esteem. I say that again. Feeling clingy or needy for attention can stem from a lack of self-esteem or a fear of rejection. If you've been clingy in the past or felt someone clinging to you, you know how detrimental it can be to a longer-term friendship or relationship. Now back to the desert. During their time in the wilderness, the Israelites had to face the fact that Most of the luxuries of Egypt were now gone. They were behind them. They left behind. Now they just had Moses and Aaron to lead them, and of course, God's daily presence to protect and provide for their needs. The problem for most of us is that fully trusting in God is a really tall order. Fully trusting in God, that's a tall order. Whether we will admit it or not, we all try to protect ourselves in whatever way that we can. What do I mean by that? We try to earn as much as we possibly can, don't we? Money insulates you to a certain extent from poverty. We try to stock up our freezers with food that we bought cheap. We try to keep our fridges fairly well stocked, don't we? So we don't run out of milk. We don't run out of bread. We've always got bread in the freezer. We don't want to run out of butter or margarine or whatever we have. We don't want to run out of cheese, grommet, do we? We try to make sure we've always got clean clothes to wear, that the car has got some fuel in it, make sure it's insured, taxed, MOT'd, that we have plans made for a summer holiday, that we have good clothes at hand should we have to go to a wedding or a funeral or something like that. We do that kind of thing, don't we? But sometimes, you know, God makes us face the facts. Sometimes we have to realize that all these things are sometimes just cluttering our relationship with Him. Because our minds are on things. And because God is a loving God, He is jealous for our affection and wants to be at the center of our lives. And that's why He doesn't like us to be needy people. He doesn't like it. Because He is the one who wants to be the one who meets all our needs. He wants to be the center. For a reason. Because that's what's best. Specifically, He does not want us to give other people more value than we do Him. Otherwise, we could easily, and this is the danger, fall into idolatry or self-importance. That's why. Not because He's faulty or greedy or He's needy. It's to protect us. So what do we actually need? Yes, we need food. We need water, drink, warmth, clothing. Without any of those, we'd have a big problem. That's a given, you might say. But we also need, I believe, to feel loved. I really do think we need to feel loved. And to be assured that everything is going to be all right in the end. We'd be really pessimistic people if we didn't have that, wouldn't we? It's going to be okay in the end. Last Sunday, Jerry talked about how we pay for different kinds of insurance. And hopefully we get what we pay for. And I'd just like to say that this morning, my car insurance renewal came through. I have not claimed on that insurance for more than 14 years, and it's just gone up by 17.5%. Okay? I'll throw that one in. I'll probably edit it out, but it is a fact. Maybe that's what you were getting at. It feels really unfair. You know, you try your best not to claim and keep the car on the road and look after it and that, and all of a sudden they say, well, this year it's 17.5% more, please. Which is way above inflation, if I work it out right. But also that God provides the best kind of insurance at nil cost. That was the bit I liked. We have a tendency to plan and prepare for the unexpected. If we are the worrying, risk-averse type, we would insure just about everything that we could. We would insure against loss, breakdown, failure, theft, damage, and so on. And maybe that will pay off one day if you do that. And maybe, on the other hand, you will look back and see all the thousands and thousands of pounds you spent on insurance and it never was used. 14 years no claims, costing about £200 per year, is a lot of money when you think about it. And I haven't got it anymore. It's gone. So, maybe on the other hand, you will look back and you'll see all the time and the effort that you put into worrying about what might happen and all those things that could have gone wrong. They didn't go wrong. Now, a little aside here. On one Tuesday night a month, I am currently leading worship at Coningsby Community Hall. And sometimes I forget to take things with me and have to go racing back again. So, because there's a lot of planning involved, I decided to start making a list. And I put it on my phone to make sure that I've got everything on my list. I got to the point where it makes sense to check the list rather than to trying to think all the time about what I might possibly be forgetting. So, have a look at this list. My list is growing. This is the kind of thing that I had to take. I had to remember to take a projector and a power supply and a connection lead, a projector screen, a laptop and a power supply, a laptop mouse, a USB stick with the pre-chosen worship songs, a guitar, a lead and a capo, a guitar amplifier and a power lead, word sheets, chord sheets, two music stands, my spectacles, that's always forgotten, isn't it? Easily forgotten. A microphone and stand, a radio microphone, headset, receiver and charger, some PP3, AA and AAA spare batteries, just in case they fail, a nail file, in case I snap my fingernails, and a coffee making kit, some food and some money. Every time I go back, the list gets longer. The list feels like it's getting longer and longer every time I go there. Okay, but what do I or did I actually need on that list? Let's look back at Jesus and his disciples and make a little comparison between my list and their list on this occasion. On Luke 10:1-9, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Now this is the bit. "Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. And do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. And if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you." Massive difference there, isn't there? They went out with very little luggage, no list, and very little to remember, except this one thing. Jesus told them to go. Jesus told them to go. That's all you need to remember. I told you to do it, so go and do it. I am convinced that the sum effect of those 72 followers of Jesus must have been amazing. Amazing results. Now, why do you think he sent them out with next to nothing? Could it possibly be this? that they were about to experience the same thing as the Israelites in the desert, that God would provide everything that they would need for the very thing that he was calling them to do. I.e., they wouldn't need anything other than to obey his command and to operate under and with his authority. That's all they needed. In fact, Jesus was so interested in their results, the results of this expedition, that he actually asked them a specific question when they came back. And the question is in Luke 22, verse 35. And then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they replied. "Nothing. We had everything we needed. No guitar, no amp, no microphones, no batteries, no song sheets. Just go and do as you're told." It would be great, wouldn't it, to have only one thing to remember. Like, why am I here? What am I doing? Because Jesus sent me to proclaim the kingdom of God is near. It's that simple. None of the other luggage is actually required unless Jesus says it is. Unless Jesus says, "Well, take that along with you this time." It would be great to have all your needs met, wouldn't it? Like Mary. Do you remember that? She definitely looks like she has got her priorities right. Mary, Luke 10:41-42. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many, many, many things. But only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it won't be taken from her." Sometimes there will be a need to make lists. There's nothing wrong with lists. It's a smart thing to do. So we don't forget about the important things we need to remember. But I suggest this to you. At the top of your list needs to be written, "Remember Jesus and pray." King David was well aware that God would look after him and meet his needs. His needs. So long as he stayed close to his divine shepherd, like a faithful human sheep. You've heard it before. Let's listen to it again. Psalm 23:1-6. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lovely, isn't it? There is a promise that runs right through the Bible from beginning to end. We do not need to be needy people. If we seek the Lord and we put our trust in him, being needy doesn't really come, does it? And how do we do that then? How do we actually do that? We need to keep checking. What we are doing is actually what Jesus is calling us to do. That's what we need to keep doing. Are you doing what Jesus is actually calling you to do? And Matthew 11:28-9 says, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened and making really long lists, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So once again, ask yourself this question: is my yoke easy? Is my burden light? Do I have all my needs met in Jesus? And if not, why not? Why do you feel that your needs are not met in Jesus? Look back at the Israelites in the desert again. What was God trying to teach them over those 40 years? It's a long time for something. I think it was about 10 days a trip if they went in a straight line. 40 years. Deuteronomy 29:2-6. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials and to all his land. With your own eyes you saw those great trials, those miraculous signs and great wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear." You still don't get it. "During the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. You ate no bread and drank no wine or any other fermented drink. And I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord, your God." That's why I did it. To wake you up and to realize that there's very little that you need that I can't supply. Sometimes people just don't get it. You could ask them, "Why didn't your shoes wear out in the desert?" "Well, I don't know." Good shoes, I guess. "How did your clothes manage to last 40 years? "Well, I don't know." Many of them still couldn't see the God who was performing these miraculous signs. They didn't put two and two together. And what's more, it sounds like they were still needy people. "I want that, I want that, I want this. I need this, I need some onions. I want some quails to eat. This water's not nice." Looking inwardly at their own needs and desires, and therefore unable to see or appreciate the God who was all around them all the time. As far as they were concerned, their needs were not being met, because what they wanted was probably incompatible with God's wishes for them at that time. So why did God take so long taking them through the desert? It's a long time, 40 years. Some of them died in the desert. A lot of them did. Again, remember, God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what is in your heart. What are you actually about as a person? What's going on in your head and your heart? If you're a needy person, if you are prepared to admit it, that is, do you know why? Do you know why? If you are a needy person, if you can admit it, do you know why you're a needy person? Nehemiah 9:17-21. "They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked, proud, and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And therefore you did not desert them, even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, 'This is your God who brought you up out of Egypt.' Or when they committed awful blasphemies, because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the desert. By day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the desert. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. What do you need? A needy person always seems to want more than they have already got. They feel insecure because they lack confidence in who they really are. They don't know who they are. As in the popular song, Good, Good Father, who we are is loved by God. That's who we are. But if you still can't see or feel that in your life, then you need to take a closer look at Jesus. Because like the Israelites, you might have failed to remember the many miracles. You might have closed your spiritual ears. You might be so busy in your life, making lists and things like that, all life's demands, that you have left God off your list. So what do you actually need? What you actually need is Jesus. You need to keep him at the top of your list before you write anything after it. You need to remember the things that you think you need to do are not necessarily the things that you need to do. If you get things in the right order, then the rest will fall in line behind Jesus. Matthew 6:31-33. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Don't worry about what shall you drink. Don't worry about what you shall wear. For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Take nothing with you, but declare the kingdom of God is near. So are you like me today? Do you need a new list? Do you need to reassess what is on your list? Do you need to put the Lord at the top of it? Father, I thank you that you've always got something to say to us. You always remind us that you will meet all our needs. And Lord, you tell us to consider the birds of the air, that they do not reap and sow or worry. And you care for each of them. And you say that we are worth more than many sparrows. Lord, help us to realize just how much you love us and how much you do provide for us on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen.